The opportunity to bolster your stable. Join us at Karaka on the 21st and 22nd of November. Contact NZB now to request a catalogue or view online. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
Nobody has your back like family, so you know Penrith Mazda will look after you. Get the Mazda 3 Neo Sport, the car of choice. Drive away from just $21,490 and get 3 years, 45,000 kilometre free servicing on selected BT50 models. Plus, all new Mazdas get 5 years unlimited kilometre warranty. Penrith Mazda, your 2017 Mazda Master Dealer. Family owned and operated at Mulgoa Road, Penrith. MD 18808.
Another quick success story about radio. Every day, John trusts his favourite radio presenter to tell him what's important. So when an airline needed to tell people like about a flight sale, they asked to endorse it on air. Once people like John heard about the sale endorsed by the presenters, they trusted it was a great deal and sales took off. And it was all thanks to radio. Alive with trust, alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast.
Blues cricketer Trent Copeland.
Lads, I'm happy for you to call me on offer at any time. I'll come on the show whenever you want. It was a nice start, and I think we've lost the likes of Doug Bollinger, Ed Cowan, Nick Maddison from our team in recent times, just to name a few. So in bowling terms, no Dougie means that, I'm the senior statesman and it's my responsibility really to lead from the front.
The Big Sports Breakfast, 5:30 weekdays on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, TAB and Volkswagen Amarok.
No, so many great names in cooking at Bingley.
Yes, Mum. Smeg, Westinghouse, DeLonghi, Amiga, Beko, Woolworths and more.
Woolworths is actually a supermarket, Lionel.
And if you buy a selected oven, cooktop or range hood at Bingley, you'll actually get a bonus Woolworths e-gift card, Mum, worth up to $300.
Wow.
Yep, a bonus Woolworths e-gift card up to $300 only for a limited time at Bingley.
Offer via redemption. Conditions apply. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
Sunday morning at 10:30, catch Pacing Rewind on Sky Sports Radio.
It is time for Pacing Rewind, and Mick Guerin joins me online now. Mick, good morning to you.
Morning, Simon. Big hi to everybody around New South Wales. I hope they enjoyed the spectacular winks yesterday at the Valley. I've been lucky enough to talk to Chris Waller this morning, had a good talk to him, and he's a relaxed man sitting in his backyard there in Sydney enjoying some family time and reminiscing on what unveiled yesterday, I suppose you'd say, and thinking about what could happen next. And the more you talk to him, the more you get the indications we'll be having a little send-off for her, maybe come Queen Elizabeth time. So I'm pretty confident, after talking to him at length this morning, we'll be seeing her in the autumn in Sydney, which will make a lot of people there very, very happy.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable day, a memorable day for everyone on track. The scenes on Channel 7 were incredible, weren't they?
It was great. I was actually in the studio hosting the New Zealand television coverage of it. We had two storylines. Obviously, everybody wanted Winks to win, but there was also a nice New Zealand storyline with Fabi Koke and Michael Pittman, who'd been fighting cancer and made his way to the Valley. Their story didn't end the way they wanted, but to cap their day after Fabi Koke ran last of the seven who actually finished the Cox Plate, Michael's son Matthew, who co-trains with him, welcomed his first son into the world last night at 11:40. Benjamin John Pittman was born last night, so that's one hell of a day at the office. Have a Cox Plate runner for the first time as a trainer and then become a dad for the first time at 20 minutes to 12. So the Pittmans had a day which, ironically, I'll remember just as much as Chris Waller and the Winks fans.
Gee, born on the day that Winks won her fourth and Savvy Cope lined up. And wasn't it great that Michael was able to travel? I saw an interview there on Channel 7 with Hamish McLaughlin. Of course, he's had to go through these bouts of chemotherapy, and it was looking unlikely that he'd be able to get there. But he was there at the Valley yesterday, Mick.
Well, a lovely scene too, Chris Waller walking up and embracing Michael Pittman, because Chris Waller, of course, and learned to train his early years in New Zealand. And he reminisced on television about heading down to Riccarton and meeting people like Michael Pittman. And here they are all these years later, and the balance of power has changed between the two for obvious reasons. Chris, the leading trainer in Australasia alongside Darren Weir. But yes, he hasn't forgotten his roots, Chris Waller. And he was fantastic yesterday on all fronts in dealing with the media. But of the harness racing front, we have nothing quite as champion as Winx, but we have the closest thing we've got in Lazarus racing this afternoon, Simon. 1:45 Sydney time, he takes on the Beast of North America again in the Breeders' Crown. Now, that's a serious race. They had to supplement, so late payment him into the race for $50,000 US. It'll be on Sky Channel. If he wins this today, that seals his international stallion career. So big, big race for Lazarus, and that's on at 1:45 on Sky. I think it'll be Sky 2 more than likely this afternoon, Sydney time, Lazarus, in the race of his North American career.
And this is Pocono Downs, the paceway, Mick?
It's a very fast track, and he's drawn barrier 2, and he should lead because Filibuster Hanover's drawn barrier 1, and he likes to lead then hand over. Spoke to Yannick Gingra and Jimmy Tactor this week. They both expect Lazarus to be in front. That means his arch rival, Mick Wicken, will have to chase. So the key factor is getting a nice soft section at some stage and then powering up from the 600. So he's got a chance. He did miss his latest race because of having a slight cough, but today, around Pocono Downs, he'll be awfully hard to catch. So, as I said, 1:45 for that. Ironically, a horse who beat Lazarus twice last year, but also spent a lot of time running second and third to him, was Tiger Tara. And last night, Tiger Tara was named at the New South Wales Harness Racing Awards, the New South Wales Harness Racing Horse of the Year. So it was probably more not just about the races he won, because he won a Group 1, a lead up to the Miracle Mile, but also the performances he put up running seconds and thirds behind at Lazarus. And he went to the races last night, so he was being honoured in Sydney. At Cranbourne, he was racing where he ran second to San Carlo in the Cranbourne Cup. Came from a second line barrier draw, very game. He tends to be a better horse in front, so not concerned about that at all. His second last night at Cranbourne to a progressive horse in San Carlo. He'll jump on the plane next week and head to New Zealand, where he and Chicago Bull will contest the New Zealand Cup, Simon. And so Chicago Bull warmed up in a vastly different way. He went to Alexandra Park in Auckland on Friday night, and he raced right-handed for the first time. It started oh so badly. Galloped away, settled, galloped again, and Gary Hall Jr., who's training the horse in New Zealand and also drove him, said, look, I thought I was brilliant. Absolutely no chance to win. What happened in the next 2.5 minutes was quite staggering. Raced around the field, sat parked outside last season's New Zealand Cup runner-up, Jack's Legend, and smashed him. Attacked him down the back straight at 26.9 for that 400-metre sectional, then blasted home at 27.3 and thrashed him. Now, Jack Legend's a pretty good horse. Chicago Bull to be uncomfortable on the right-handed track, gallop twice, only briefly on both occasions, and still win was an enormous performance. And he moved into favourite with tab.com.au for that New Zealand Cup, which is 2 weeks on Tuesday. So the second Tuesday in November, the Melbourne Cup's the first Tuesday. For harness racing fans, it's the second Tuesday, which is the big one. But all of a sudden, the Australians, Tiger Tara and Chicago Bull, have emerged as the horses to beat in the Cup alongside Ultimate Machete. So the Trans-Tasman effect in this year's New Zealand Cup is going to be a lot larger than it's tended to be in the last 10 to 15 years, with, of course, the caveat that 3 years ago, Arden Rooney did win it for trainer-driver Kieran Manning.
And there have been Aussies that have gone over there for the New Zealand Cup in the past that have gotten there a few weeks earlier and had a lead-up, like the Halls have done with Chicago Bull in recent years, hasn't there, Mick?
Yeah, Flashing Red's the most obvious one. Mm. It's an incredibly hard race to win for Australians because they don't have, first of all, many staying standing start races. You know, there's virtually no staying standing start races in New South Wales. In fact, there's virtually no staying races in New South Wales when it comes to the absolute top end. In Victoria, there's no standing starts anymore. And then in Perth, you have standing starts and staying races, but not the two older together. So New Zealand horses racing 2,700-metre standing starts, 2,400-metre standing starts, and then, of course, the two biggest races in New Zealand, the Auckland Cup and the New Zealand Cup, are both 3,200-metre standing starts. So our horses are used to that diet, much like the English gallopers are used to the two-mile diet, whereas the Australian gallopers aren't used to it because only the Cups and the the occasional sprinkling of two-mile races float around. So it's an awfully hard thing for the Australians to do. But both Tiger Tara and Chicago Bull are former New Zealand horses, and both have records over staying trips. They were second and third last year to Lazarus at the Inter-Dominion, which was 2,960 metres around Gloucester Park from the Mobile. So they've had a better grounding for this. And the other reason the lead-up to the New Zealand Cup is changing is the Victoria Cup's been moved. Mm. It used to be in late January, early February. It's gone to the middle of October. So horses are up and racing and getting fit earlier in Australia because of that, and because the Inter-Dominion's moved to December. So the whole calendar has shifted back about 3 months, or forward about 3 months, you can look at it that way. And for that reason, the horses from Australia are going to turn up fitter heading into New Zealand Cups in the years ahead. So I would say it's a flip of a coin, Australia versus New Zealand right now, but the Australian horses, including the newly crowned New South Wales Horse of the Year, Tiger Tara, very much in form as they head to Addington. Probably might go to the Cup Trial Chicago Bull, which is about a Wednesday beforehand. So that'll be the 7th of November before they head there. But tab.com.au has those markets open. And shortly, Simon will be joined by a man who knows all about winning New Zealand Cups. He won them with the Flashing Red, who was an Australian / New Zealand horse. He's a little bit of everything. Tim Butt, because Tim Butt has some serious chances today, not New Zealand Cup type horses, but horses he's actually aiming at the Inter-Dominion, which also comes up now 2 weeks after the New Zealand Cup as we do consolidate and tighten up that open class program.
We're going to have a chat to Tim Budd in just a moment, Mick, but first of all, let's touch on Kaikoura. Now, this is normally Melbourne Cup week, isn't it, Kaikoura?
Yeah, they've gone back a week, or sort of it just falls in an awkward place because it's always the week after Labor Day in New Zealand. Labor Day was last Monday, so they have Ashburton, which is a lead-up race. Then they have Kaikoura, and sometimes that Kaikoura falls on the first Monday of November, therefore the day before Melbourne Cup time, but it's not this time. It's a two-day meeting. So if you've never seen Kaikoura, it is one of the most picturesque tracks in the world. Click on Sky today at some stage. There'll be the minor lead-up meeting, then tomorrow's the big one where the open class horses go to. And when they race down the back straight, they are literally, because I've stood on that back straight, 25 metres from the Pacific Ocean. It's quite remarkable. Like, you'd actually be terrified if there was a big tide, the track will get washed away. There's actually a little bit of ground. It's a bit above the ocean level, but it's an incredible scene when they stream down the back straight. There's no grandstand. So people who want to watch either get to the inside of the track, and often they park up in the caravan for 2 days, or they go stand on a hill. And the hill isn't the nicest hill in the world. It has bushes and all sorts of stuff on it. It's pretty humorous stuff, Kaikoura. They only race for these 2 days a year. If you've never seen it, it is worth turning on your TV today just to watch it for one race, because Kaikoura tomorrow have the Kaikoura Cup, which has some of the leading chances for the New Zealand Cup, including Cruz Bromac, who at Menangle earlier this year won the Len Smith Mile. He's now trained by Mark Purden and Natalie Rasmussen, and he was excellent winning the Mifflin Cup last time out. He's one of the key players in the Kaikoura Cup tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, if you think the red dirt and the azure blue of the Indian Ocean are a good backdrop to broom, you've got to check out Kaikoura for sure. It's an unbelievable track to watch. So that's this afternoon and tomorrow. Now, Mick, Tim Butt is joining us now. He's got one resuming this afternoon at Tabcorp Park Menangle in Let It Ride. And Tim is on the line. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Hey, Timmy, you've got Let It Ride in, mate. He was one of the real highlights of the winter, of course, taking up the Blacks of Fake at Albion Park. I always feel sorry for trainers, Tim, when they come back to the races with very good horses fresh up from bad barrier draws, because I know you want to win, but obviously you don't want to give your horse a headache fresh up. What do we expect this afternoon around about 4:15 from Let It Ride?
Yeah, it's just exciting to have him back and starting a new campaign, really, Mick, and you know, it makes it tough with the draw, but it is what it is. You know the race is going to go ahead, so you can plan your preparation leading into the Dominion. So, but today he'll run well. He'll get home very well, but he's probably at the mercy of the section horse. They go hard, okay, run early, he can win, you know.
$6 in the markets, Tim. Like, is he a realistic betting option, or because you have bigger fish to fry, the Inter Dominion, ID18, starting on December 1 out of Melton and heading around Victoria, is it a case where you'll say to Anthony Settleback, don't move too early in the run because there should be some speed from Franco Nelson and Major Dan, and therefore he's more likely to get beaten than he is to be in the finish?
Yeah, it's going to be the middle part of the race. Major Dan will cross Franco Nelson and make the pace, you know what I mean? But if they sort of slow up mid-race, it makes it terrible hard for us to win from back there. But, you know, I still think he'll, you know, Major Dan on his best day is terrific, but he is a little bit in and out. And, you know, so I'm not only overly, you know, scared of him, but I think Franco Nelson with a cozy run, he's been racing pretty well.
Tim, we spoke earlier about Lazarus. Of course, your horse, Myfield Marshall, beat him in the Miracle Mile and the fastest ever mile in this part of the world, 146.9. Where is Myfield Marshall, and why won't we see him at the Inter Dominion?
He's just come back from a break. He's had about 3 weeks back in work. It's probably the first decent spell he's had, Mick, you know, with all the racing that he has had incurred. But basically, you know, he's had those two wind operations, and he has to be managed delicately, so he's not a horse you can go to the wall every week. And just with four races like an Inter Dominion series or a crawling two-mile race like the Cup, I just felt it's probably not in his best interest. So he'll be ready to race at Christmas time, and I'm wrapped with him. He looks terrific, so he'll be aiming at Miracle Mile again.
Tim, you take a horse to race seven at Menangle today, who I thought was beautifully placed. Italian Delight comes out of a far stronger race, drops back to C2 to C5, unbelievably, in the Indigenous Drivers race. I thought the best version of Italian Delight would win.
Yeah, he's trained on since that run too, Mickey. You know, sectionals were terrific. I think 53.6 and 26.3, which is pretty good for a horse like him. And, you know, he's just a gentleman to train and good bunch of owners. And, you know, I hope he can meander along, and you know, I'd like to see him in the Inter Dominions. Actually, I think he's a horse that could toil away from good draws and make it through to the final.
Is he a horse, Tim, who can go forward for Bruce O'Brien, who of course you probably haven't had a lot to do with? This is an Indigenous driver's race, so you've had to find a freelance driver for Italian Delight. Is he a horse who can go forward and make his own luck? Because at even money, I think punters like to see them do that, Tim, rather than be backing horses back in the field.
I think from that wide draw, I might just tell them to let things unfold a bit early. You know, they're all pretty much invited drivers, and they'll be pretty keen to sort of get going, I'd say. So, you know, if we let have a bit of a watch for the first 400, and then, you know, we can make our own luck a bit from there. I think he's got the class on the opposition, but we don't want to be sitting four wide out of 55 half. So, yeah, it could be a little bit tricky, but it's great to support these races.
Tim, you've seen all these lead-up races, I'm sure, for the New Zealand Cup, and then usually when you have a horse like Lazarus, or the best New Zealand horses are probably too good for the best Australian horses at home. This season looks slightly different. Chicago Bull was fantastic. Tiger Tara was excellent in the Victoria Cup. What's your take on the New Zealand Cup, a race you know so well?
Oh, it's going to be terrific, because you've got those seasoned campaigners like Cruz Bromac, you know, Tiger Tara and Chicago Bull, you know, all coming from Australia. And then you've got, you know, the Mark Burden team that are, that you know are going to be cherry ripe on the day. And, you know, there's probably still the odd one there that can, you know, Robert Dunn's team's going pretty well too. So, you know, I think the seasoned horse will win it. I sort of like Cruz Bromac at the moment. It'll be interesting to see how he goes tomorrow. You know, I think on his day, he's an awfully talented horse, and I think he's in the right camp.
Tim, just talking about your move to New South Wales, obviously there's been a huge amount of success through the Edit Ride and through Field Marshal. How many horses have you now got at work, and has it been something you're enjoying, the family settling in a new part of the world, and has it refreshed you a bit?
Oh, it's been fantastic. We just had the awards last night, and just in the middle of Sydney at the moment having breakfast, so life's pretty good, Mick. And, you know, we built our team up. We come over with 10 horses, and probably nine of them weren't competitive in New Zealand, you know. So they've all done a good job, and we've moved a few on and so on, and now we're up to 30 horses on the books, and they've got some good owners that we can go and purchase a nice horse if we want it. So, it's been good for business, and, you know, I think it's a progressive place in Australasia. There's going to be new stakes increased next week and a couple of other things getting announced. So it's definitely heading forward here.
Tim, thanks for joining us this morning. It's great to see you doing so well over there, mate. And good luck with Let It Ride today. But I think the tip of the day for you might be Italian Delight.
Cheers, mate. Great to talk to you.
Rightio, there he is, Tim.
He's obviously a guy who's won New Zealand Cups. He's won Miracle Miles. I'm interested to hear his take there. He's tipping Cruz Bromac as potentially the horse to beat in a New Zealand Cup. I'm not sure what tab.com.au have him, but you might be shopping around the $10 mark.
Yeah, Cruz Bromac at the moment, $9 with the tab fixed odds, Mick.
Not bad for an Owen guy like Tim Butts, tipping in. But so today, obviously, Menangle do race because last night they had their annual awards where some of the other big winners were Kerry Ann Turner, the Trittons had a winner, the Metropolitan Trainers, Todd McCarthy had a win, Chris Geary, leading junior driver. All those awards are available on the harness.org.au website. But for that reason, Menangle race today. First race is at 12:13, so not all that far away. And they race with a solid program today. Nice big trot there too. And, of course, the major pace for the day, a rare Sunday afternoon beating out of an angle. And I'm sure, Simon, probably if you saw hints after the big day yesterday, lots of people there would have been watching Winks, then gone to the awards to celebrate in style in central Sydney, and then back out to the west this afternoon.
Yeah, no doubt. Good on you, Mick. Thanks very much for your help with Pacing Rewind this morning. And we'll chat again soon.
Always a pleasure, Simon.
There he is, Mick Guerin. That's 9 to 11. In just a moment, we'll have this morning's edition of Chasing Rewind with Tim Newbold and Michael Kelly.
Behind for the Melbourne Cup Carnival. It's the one week of the year when the world can wait. Get your tickets at Ticketek.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
We've had another big week of greyhound racing. Last night at the Meadows was the Top Gun. Not only the Top Gun, but the Top Gun Stayers as well. And Mick Cowley will touch on those races shortly. But first of all, let's get a wrap of all of the action from Wentworth Park last night with Tim Newbold. Tim, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Simon. Another crackerjack meeting at Wentworth Park last night. The feature races continued. We had three heats of the Group 1 Vic Peters Classic and the final next Saturday night. Race number five of the program was heat number one. That was taken out by Irinka Lizzie in great fashion, running 30-2. She's really come back from a bit of a break in great form. Trained by Ray Smith, she worked hard at the early part. She got the lead mid-race and she was strong at the end. Irinka Lizzie taking out the opening heat of the Vic Peters. Heat number two, which was race six, an awesome catch for Vince Tullio, who is a trainer from Victoria. This guy's been up here in New South Wales for a few runs now, awesome catch, and he was really good winning in 29.98. He was able to hold a position in the early part. He's really strong, and he took the lead, turning for home, and he was strong over the latter part of the race. He's a real contender in next Saturday night's big final, awesome catch. And heat number three, which was race seven on the program, we saw the return of the Group 1 Dapto Megastar winner, Zipping Taylor. She hasn't been seen for about 5 or 6 weeks after taking out that big one, and she returned to the track in great fashion. She ran 30-15, winning for Jason McKay. It was a really, really good performance. She settled behind the leaders mid-race. She caught a little bit of a check down the back straight, and then she knuckled down at the end, and she was really strong to the line, defeating Deliver, the Victorian trained by Shona Thompson, and Tap Out Dusty in third. 30-15 recorded in that heat, which was heat number three. Only three heats of the Vic Peters. The box draw has been conducted. Box one, Tap Out Dusty. Box two, Coops. Box number three, Deliver. Mots of the Queenslanders come up with box four. Awesome catches, drawn the five. Zipping Taylor's got a tricky draw. She's come up with the six. Uzo has drawn seven. And Irinka Lizzie, one of the heat winners, has drawn box number eight. And the Group 1 Vic Peters to be conducted at Wentworth Park next Saturday night. Other notable winners on the program, Bogan Dooney was rewarded for consistency of late. She ran 29.49, taking out the opening race, a blinding run. And Zipping Mitzi ran 29.52, taking out the second race on the program. And just a little later on the night, True Talent ran 29.56 for Jason McKay. So those greyhounds really set the track alight. They're all talented greyhounds, and they were flying runs at Wentworth Park last night. Training honours to Jason McKay. He trained a winning treble on the card. All in all, it was another fantastic night of racing at Wentworth Park tonight, and the scene is set for a big Group 1 Vic Pooters Classic next Saturday night at headquarters. The Group 1s just continue here in Sydney.
Good on you, Tim. There he is, Timmy Newbold, on hand from Wentworth Park last night, and now from Greyhound Racing New South Wales, Michael Cowley joins me on the line. Mick, good morning to you.
Hello, Simon. How are you for a Sunday morning?
Yeah, not too bad. Now, just before we touch on the Top Gun, Mick, Tim was talking about the Vic Pooters final, which is on next Saturday night. I see Delivers the favourite here from Box 3. What are your early thoughts on this feature?
Hey, it's a tough one, to be honest. Yeah, they're quite a good lineup of some promising greyhounds. Deliver did look good. Zipping Taylor, flashed home. Another big win, and Zipping Taylor's chasing a couple of Group 1s in about 16 starts. She's got the megastar, as Tim mentioned, and now chasing another Group 1. Wouldn't be bad to have two Group 1s in your pocket after 16 starts, would it?
Definitely not. Righto, Mick, well, we had Group 1 racing last night from the Meadows. The 2018 Tamp Top Gun highlighted the card, and it was Race 8 on the program. Let's take in a replay of the action.
A moment of glory for someone here. They're boxed and ready to run. Set racing, and out pretty fast there, uphill Gillette, the centre, vying for the lead there with Dinah Patty. They lead settling down, Poke the Bear to the box seat third, as they swing another straight. Uphill Jill takes the lead, got away three in front, over Poke the Bear to second, followed then by Hasten Sally over on the inside, then Hecton Bar to the outside, making ground from Real Simple, followed by Dinah Patty, Trevor Minnelli, three Western Augie on the turn, Poke the Bear the leader, skipped away. They're going to have to go to shoot this bear down, and Poke the Bear wins the Top Gun great fashion. Hasten Staley second, uphill Jill third, followed by Hecton Bar behind them. Then came Trevor Minnelli.
Great call to the Top Gun from the Hawk there. Poke the Bear for Shona Thompson, defeating Hasten Staley, and uphill Jill finishing in third there. What a terrific Top Gun it was, Mick.
Ah, fantastic race it really was. And of course, Poke the Bear, the only finalist in the Top Gun that actually raced the week before in the Million Dollar Chase Grand Final. Didn't have a lot of luck getting into a spot early in the Million Dollar Chase Grand Final, but found a spot behind Uphill Jill, and once he was sitting on Uphill Jill, you kind of thought that would certainly be hard to hold out, and that proved to be the case in 29.74. The Thompsons, they just keep knocking out winning features down there. I think on the night before, the Geelong Cup, they also won that with Aston Cabetto. So another good weekend for the Thompsons, Shona and Jason. They couldn't get the prize in Sydney, but didn't take them long to be back winning Group 1s in Victoria.
And the favourite from the Top Gun last night, Mick, Dinah Patty, a touch disappointing?
Was a little bit, Simon. It tends to be the case in those big races that things don't always go the way. Off the red, Dinah Patty was expected to be the one to beat, but I guess there wasn't a lot between Dinah Patty, Poke the Bear, and Hecton Bale, another one, first reserve for the Million Dollar Chase. The three of them were all pretty tight in the market, and that seemed to be the case. Whoever got the luck in running, and Poke the Bear got straight out of the six, straight into second, and then zoomed past Uphill Jill, who added to her prize money again. Had she won, she would have become only the fifth greyhound in Australian racing history to pass the Million Dollar mark, but not to be. She's I think sitting on about 870 odd at the moment. But there's still a few features coming up. You never know. The Melbourne Cup's just around the corner, Simon.
Earlier on the night, Mick, we had the 2018 Tab Top Gun Stayers over the 725. Let's take in a replay of this race.
Set for start. Stayers Top Gun, ready at racing. And a little bit of sky on the inside. Billy's Bacon away fast. Champagne Sally out in the centre, went straight to the lead, settling down. Pogo Dorado second, followed by Billy's Bake third. Then Dinah Chance are beaten for pace, followed by Rockstar Patriot. Moment to jive. Well back is Bacali second, last the outside Heavy Ripper. Out of the straight, under a lap to go. Champagne Sally, the Queenslander, went clear by six, going down the back straight from Pogo Dorado. They were followed then by Dinah Chance, a third over on the inside, Rockstar Patriot. Moment to jive, followed by Billy's Bacon, then Bacali, Ebby Ripper coming off the back straight on Champagne Sally, giving a great start in the lead. Four lengths clear. Poco Dorado, followed then by Dinah Chancer. Into the straight though, Champagne Sally has got it won, and Champagne Sally wins the Top Gun stage. Second, Poco Dorado, flying Ebby Ripper up for third, followed by Rockstar.
There was a boil over in the Stayers event last night. Mick was Champagne Sally getting the cash at 25-1, defeating the favourite Poco Dorado, and Ebby Ripper filled third.
It was a bit of an upset. I know a lot of greyhound enthusiasts were scratching their heads after the race. I'm trying to work out the last time there was a feature race held at Victorian Metro Track where Victorians didn't finish 1, 2, or 3. It was a rare occurrence. You know, the Queenslander winning with the two New South Wales contenders running second and third. But, yeah, I guess the week before we had three New South Wales dogs.